Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the 10th Sunday of the year. A prominent businessman was walking down the street of a large city on his way home from a meeting. It was night. Since his meeting had lasted later than it should, it was long after it was safe to be on the streets alone. By this time, there were all kinds of derelicts and people of questionable reputation on the streets. As he was walking by, the businessman happened to look down and see a man all curled up in a gutter trying to stay warm. The cool night air was progressively getting chillier and chillier. Something about this man made the businessman take another look at him and then another. Finally, he walked over to get a good look. When he saw that man and the look in his eyes, the businessman instinctively did what Jesus did with the widow who had lost her only son that day in the town of Nain. The businessman's heart went out to the man in the gutter. He bent down to him and said, "Whoever you are, you don't belong here." The businessman took the man home with him to see if he could help him. As it turned out, the businessman was right. This man didn't belong there. He was a prominent physician who had taken to drink and had all but ruined his career. Just as Jesus had seen that the young man did not belong on the funeral bier, so the businessman saw that this man, whoever he was, didn't belong to the gutter. This story also has a happy ending. The businessman saw to it that the man got a rehabilitation program and turned his life around, all because of that little word, compassion. Compassion can do more than you may think, especially if it is straight from the heart of Jesus. The central theme of today's readings is that in a world of broken hearts, God sees and cares for us in our grief. He shows compassion on our miseries and gives us His healing touch. Today's scripture readings challenge us to become channels of God's compassionate, healing love, and to place our hope in Jesus who gives us resurrection and eternal life. The first reading taken from the first book of Kings shows us how our merciful God uses His prophet Elijah to resuscitate the only son of the poor widow of Zarephath who had given the prophet accommodation in her home during a famine. In the second reading taken from the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul declares that the good news of God's love, mercy and salvation which he preaches has been directly revealed to him by God who has chosen him for ministry from his mother's womb. Today's gospel story reveals to us the compassionate heart of God in Jesus. Meeting a funeral procession coming out of the village of Nain, Jesus was visibly moved at the sight of the weeping widow going with the town to bury her only son. Jesus also knew that the widows were one of the most destitute, dependent, and vulnerable classes of society, totally dependent for support of the mercy of others. So Jesus stopped the funeral procession, touched the bier, consoled the mother and surprised everyone by resuscitating the boy, thus extending God's love and compassion to the bereaved mother. Widows formed one of the most destitute, dependent and vulnerable classes of society in Jesus' time. Unlike our society in which the modern woman has the freedom to work and to care for herself, the woman could not provide for herself. As a result, the worst thing that could happen to a woman was for her to lose her husband, and then she was left in the most vulnerable and destitute of conditions. As a result, the old covenant law protected widows and made provision for them. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, there are regulations that prevent the Israelites from harvesting their fields more than once. Why? So that whatever remained of the harvest after the first pass would then be given to the destitute of society, which included the widows. The first harvest was for the landowner. The remaining harvest was given to the poor. Even then, the widows were left completely dependent upon the graciousness of the landowners and their obedience to the Mosaic law. Widows and orphans were a particular concern for the prophets. Jesus stands in that prophetic tradition. The scene at Nain is particularly sad because the mother in this story, who had already lost her husband, has now lost her only son and her only means of support. Jesus was visibly moved by the sight of the weeping widow, perhaps because he could foresee his own mother in the same position at the foot of his cross. His compassionate heart prompted him to console the widow, saying, "Do not weep." Then Luke reports, he touched the bier And when the bearer stood still, he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother and participated in an indescribable joy. Jesus' physical touch not only restored life but brought freedom and wholeness to the soul as well as body. Jesus comes to restore what was lost. He in fact acts to remove the cause of pain and sorrow. In reading this fragment of the Gospel about the resuscitation of the young man of 9, we could emphasize Jesus' divinity alone by saying that only God could have brought back his life to this young man. But here we see Jesus' humanity as well. We don't see Jesus in the Gospel episode as a remote divine being, but as somebody close to us, sharing a loss and sorrow. Jesus' raising of the widow's son was also a sign of the spiritual resurrection offered to all people. Jesus is showing concern about the need for us to be spiritually alive here and now. The reaction of the people around was one of awe and admiration. A great prophet has arisen among us and God has visited his people. They had no doubts about the origin of what they had seen taking place. It was the work of God. Not surprisingly, the story spread like wildfire all through Judea and beyond.
Lay your hands gently upon us. Let their touch render your peace. Let them and healing, lay your hands gently, lay your hands. You were sent to free the broken hearted. You were sent to give sight to the blind. You decide to heal all our illnesses. Lay your hands gently, lay your hands.
What messages for life do we get from today's liturgy? First of all, we need to become channels of God's compassionate and healing love as Jesus was. The Gospel reminds us to have the same love and compassion for those who suffer that Jesus had. Our deeds of love will transform the brokenhearted and help them to experience God as Father who has come among his people. We need to ask God for the grace to become like Christ for others in our daily lives. Our society needs saints, and we can each be one in our own environment. As our Lord comforted this woman, let us comfort others. Secondly, we need to be spiritually alive. This story should help us to look at our own situation and see, first of all, how alive we really are. When we live in mortal sin, we are physically alive and spiritually dead. We receive spiritual revival in the sacrament of reconciliation. Saint Augustine comments, Our Mother, the Church, rejoices every day when people are raised again in spirit sacramentally. Finally, we need to offer ourselves with our broken hearts to Jesus. We need to bring our deepest hurts and broken relationships to Jesus and experience how he reaches out to us and grants us his loving reconciliation. Let us invite Jesus to transform even the most difficult situations in our life. The Lord Jesus still raises the dead. We trust that promise each time we bring out our shattered lives, our broken hearts, our anger, our depression, our deepest hurts to the table of the Lord, and in the priest hear him say, This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you.
Lay your heart gently upon us. Let there Let them
Some years ago, the New York Daily News carried a story about a television news anchor woman named Pat Harper, who had left a luxurious East Side apartment with 80 cents in her pocket and spent 5 days living in the street to learn what it's like to be homeless. Harper spent the days wandering the streets in the icy January rain and her nights sleeping in doorways, train stations, and public shelters. She began to realize that most of the homeless people were not much different from her. Several people helped, giving her food and advising on how to survive without money. The undercover investigation made her realize that many homeless are simply normal people who have been hit with financial problems from which they have not been able to rebound. There was no other way for this successful media person to know how they felt other than to walk where the homeless walk. There is another who left comfort and convenience to walk where the outcasts walk. He was the same man who had compassion on the widow of 9. That is essentially the message of the cross. He has walked where we walk. When it is time for us also to walk the Via Dolorosa or the way of the cross, the way of the suffering, he walks with us. That has always been the hope of people whose dreams have been dashed, whose burdens have been unbearable.